This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa ba'd. Always we begin with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. We send our prayers of peace upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that there is la ilaha illallah, that there is none that is worthy of any worship or devotion except Allah Azza wa Jal. And we continue with same strength and conviction to believe and testify that none is there who was sent to guide us more perfectly than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is our final Nabi, our final prophet and messenger unto humanity, who has come with the sealed favor, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which is the essence of all truth and guidance for humanity, from the beginning until the end. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of the Qur'an in our heart and its recitation upon our tongue, and that our children, our young and our old, grow to nurture themselves upon this wonderful kitab, the word of Allah and the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. I always advise myself and you with taqwa Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the inward consciousness that we have of Allah, our awareness of the Creator, the Almighty, in our life personally, and that we seek that this is something that shows itself outwardly from what we believe inwardly, that it manifests itself in what we say and what we do and how we interact with others in society. And this taqwa, consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the legacy of all of the prophets that was given to them. And every place you look in the Qur'an, you will see the word of Allah where He will say that the prophets were commanded today to say to their people, أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Worship Allah alone. You have none but He. Or they would say, أَنِتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Be mindful of Allah. Be conscious, aware of your dealings with Him. We're going to talk about dua. And dua is the ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ said, الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua, which is translated as supplication, or as invocation, or as devotion, love, worship. All those words mean that one thing, dua. And dua is both a praise of Allah and a request from Allah. And it's done in those two ways. And we're going to study some of the dua that Allah has captured for us in the Qur'an. And we're going to look at some of the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see its eloquence and to see how it was formulated, so that we can have usul, principles in how you and I ask for our own things. One of the most often asked question of me is, Shaykh, brother Yahya, how do I ask Allah for what I want when I don't know how to say it in Arabic? Like, I'm in sujood. I know the Prophet said, and you're going to say to us, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ لِرَبِّهِ. The closest a slave is to his master, his Lord, وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, is when they are bowed down on their face before him. How do I ask Allah? I don't speak Arabic. Can I just say it in my heart? What if all I know is Urdu, Pashto? What if all I know is Somali? What if all I know is Bahasa? What, that's all I know. What can I say that? Can I use those words in Salah, in my sujood, or not? Dua is the essence of every worship you and I do. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his action of dua, his action of dua, meaning how he did his dua, his hand movements, his hushed voice, ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Quietly, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ was very quiet. And other times it was petition. His hands were up to the heavens, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were so high, his shawl fell off his back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His jacket fell off him. He was so much in petition and in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's an art to dua, and inshallah, I hope by the end of our time today, that we will capture some of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yustajab li ahadikum ma lam ya'jal." Every single one of you, me, you, man, woman, child, even an unbeliever in Allah. Really? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He says to you and I, ittaqi, be afraid of da'wat al-madloom wa in kana kafira. Be afraid of the dua of an oppressed person, even if he is an unbeliever. Because Allah will answer that dua and raise it above the heavens, above the clouds. Yunadiha wa yunajiha. And Allah will say, come to me, so that I may answer you and give this dua victory. Even someone who doesn't believe in Allah, who says, my God, help me. This man, Muslim, a Muslim, has oppressed me, has taken my wage, my sweat was not paid on time. My effort was not recognized. The car that they turned into and left without leaving a note to pay me compensation, oh God, whoever did this, curse him. He doesn't believe in the Allah you and I know. And their dua is heard because they were wronged. The animals are heard in their petition. The Prophet ﷺ would respond to the cry and to the anguish of an animal. He responded to the anguish of a burdened camel. There was a camel that had too much burden put on it. And as the Prophet walked out of his masjid, as is in Sahih al-Bukhari, he saw this camel, and as soon as the camel saw him, it cried. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It knows who to turn to. And the Prophet ﷺ gravitated towards this camel and put it down on the ground, let it sit. And he began to unpack its burden, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said out loud, whose camel is this? Who has oppressed this beast? They have not been created to be used and misused in this way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's an art to dua. And there's a way to be heard by Allah. And there's a way to be rejected by Allah. And there's dua where the Prophet ﷺ says that the person will make dua and the angels will capture it and imprison it and subdue it. And in other statements, the Prophet said the dua will be thrown back at the petitioner, striking him in the face because it is unworthy of ascending to the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah says in the Quran, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, we begin our salah with these verses, where we say, in honoring Allah, we praise Allah first. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Twice in three sentences, you repeat His most well-known description, the merciful, the especially merciful. Maliki yawm al-deen, you understand that you will be bowed to Him and be questioned by Him. Ya Allah, I will be questioned by You on the Day of Judgment. You are its master. Iyaka na'bud, therefore I submit. It's the first dua that is recorded for us in the Quran of asking Allah through subjugation. Iyaka na'bud, only You, O Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, will I turn to in dua. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and only You, Allah, will I ask help from. So the next thing, ihdina, guide me. It's the essential of our life. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقَالَ رَبْ in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, ask me, invoke me, I will answer you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. But remember that those who are too boastful and arrogant and proud to ask of me shall enter Jahannam in humiliation. Now this is the first principle. I want you to make note of this principle. First principle. The more requests you make of Allah, the more deserving you are of His mercy. And the less you ask Allah for things, the further away you are from His mercy. Sometimes you and I, as human beings, we look at it wrong. You know, if I was to invite you to a barbecue to my home, as I said, the sun is shining, this is Perth. MashaAllah, for those watching overseas, make them jealous. Right? This is Perth, MashaAllah. Barbecues every day, they think. Right? They think all the time, it's just barbecue, barbecue, barbecue. So you come to my house, and this is your first time to my home. And, you know, we're friends, but not really friends, friends. And all of a sudden, you come to my house, and I say, thanks for coming to my house. Do you mind just mowing the lawn while I finish up? You would find that absurd. You'd say, it's ridiculous that the man would invite me for a barbecue and asks me to do physical labor. And we kind of use that logic with Allah. We assume that because we're not friends with Allah, and that's why Allah talks about awliya, the companions of Allah, the nearest to Allah. We assume because we are not on an informal basis with Allah. You need to be in a really informal basis with Allah. Allah needs to know your name because you remember His name. That's the essence of the Prophet ﷺ saying, "Udhkuruni adhkurkum." Allah says, remember me and I will remember you. You're the guy who's always with Allah. You're the one who prays the 2 rak'ah before Fajr, because Fajr is just not good enough. You need Allah. You're the one who takes a little bit of a break to pray 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah, duha, salatul awabin, before dhuhr. You're the person who seeks to do the sunnah in your salah, the 12 rak'ah that builds for you a house in Jannah every day, because you did those 12 rak'ah extra. You're known to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٍ. The hadith in Bukhari, when Allah loves a person, He calls Jibreel and says, Ya Jibreel, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّ. Jibreel, this man, this woman, this individual, I love them. You love them. فَيُحِبُّهُ Jibreel. Jibreel loves you. Jibreel loves Yahya Ibrahim, mashallah. Inshallah. Make dua. Say, Ya Rabb. Right? Jibreel loves Yahya. We'll go on that premise. وَيُنَادِي جِبْرِيلْ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Jibreel calls out to everything in the heavens and says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّوهُ. Allah loves this person. Love him as well. وَتُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And on earth, Allah's acceptance for you becomes known. Even those who are not, you know, your best of friends find some tolerance for you. Even your enemies cannot find the ways they and the means they seek to harm you because of that love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first lesson is that the less you ask Allah, the further you are away from His mercy. Become acquainted with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah also says, say, قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ. Notice this ayah, this is a beautiful ayah. Allah says, قُلْ, tell them, whether you ask Ya Allah or you say Ya Rahman. See, Ya Rahman is, you know, you ask for Allah's mercy when you need it. Sometimes when you feel you're strong, there's no one in, look at my bank account. I have a job, I have a home, I have a family, I have children, I've been educated, free healthcare. We're in Australia, akhi. Bank loans right, left and center. No problem. Alhamdulillah. If Allah wasn't happy with me, why would I have all this? I have people back home who don't have what we have. Alhamdulillah. قَدْ فُضِّلْتُ عَنْهُمْ. I was given more than others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, there's moments where you need to invoke Allah. You don't think you need His mercy. Then there's other moments where Allah drives you into the ground. Where you are put on your face by circumstance. Where everything that was stable is upside down. Where what you thought you built, Allah shows you that He can take from you because it was not yours in beginning. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you are needing Allah or you come now to know that you need Ar-Rahman. Notice that all of the super pious, they always call Ar-Rahman. Maryam, she's praying in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. It's her own private quarters. Mary alayhi salam, the mother, no one is near her. All of a sudden she sees the image of a man. قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. Oh Allah, oh whoever you are, I seek refuge with the merciful one. She remembers Ar-Rahman first. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُو فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whatever you're going to call Allah with, remember He has the most excellent, complete names. Unchanging names. Allah is complete in who He is, unchanging. His rahmah does not change because I'm not deserving of it. Allah's mercy is not just extended to me when I did good. He is always merciful, and therefore He has the most blessed and continuous names, Azza wa Jal. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they ask you concerning me, about me, I am near. That's amazing. Allah doesn't say the word قُل. See in the verse before it, it says say, قُل, say to them. But here when you ask, where is Allah in my life? I'm near. I'm with you. إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. I see all, hear all, I know all. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's dive in. Let's look at some of the dua from the Quran, some of the dua from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First dua. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Who was the first to make this dua? Adam alayhi salam. This is the dua of humanity. You and I need this dua as much as Adam needed that dua when he strayed from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the dua that makes up the totality of your life. Every time you do wrong, and you will do wrong. And I want you to understand that you will do wrong. Why will you do wrong? Because within you is that capacity. Allah has given you the ability to choose, and not all of our choices will be correct. You're flawed. You're not destined to be flawed because you can become complete. And the Prophet ﷺ says, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ. The hadith is in Bukhari. Many men have attained that completion with Allah. And many women have attained that completion. At the head of them is Maryam, the mother of Isa. Khadija, the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the daughter of Khuwaylid. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Notice the first word, Rabbana, our Lord. Have you ever wondered why you don't say Rabbi as often? Why do you always hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying Rabbana? Why do you hear Ibrahim saying Rabbana? Why do you hear Musa saying Rabbana when they're asking for themselves? Because the second etiquette that we learn today is that when you include others in your need, Allah solves your need. See, your premise of being here on earth is as khulafa in this earth. That you keep this earth ready for those who will live therein after you. That they are prepared to use it as you have used it and benefit as you have benefited in life. And therefore your dua must be inclusive. Don't be of those who says, well, everyone knows how to make dua, brother. I got to look after myself. Yani, Allah, listen to me first and then we can worry about these others. Right? No. Rabbana. Include others. Think of others. Intend others in your heart. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Third principle. Admit your mistake. Do you know your mistake? Keep it within you. Understand that it is something that you must deal with between you and Allah. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. I did ظُلْم. I knew what you expect of me. And I made a mistake. I chose the wrong way. ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, give me your forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Notice that the request of Adam and Hawa isn't, "Oh Allah, just forgive me." It's that they understand now the magnificence of Allah in their life. That if you don't forgive me, who do I have? Where will I go? What success will I have in this world? Who can I turn to? وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا If I don't have you, O Allah, to turn to every time I seek forgiveness, I will always be from those who are outcast and losers. As Muslims, our faith is the only faith that promotes tawbah. I want you to understand this. For example, you see in the movies, if you don't know it personally, you'll see in the movies or on TV that when someone does something wrong and they're Roman Catholic, they'll visit the church and they'll do what? Confession, right? They'll sit with a priest and they'll tell him what's wrong, and it's their form of penance. But for us as Muslims, we see that as being inadequate. Because why? When they ask you about me, O Muhammad, say I am near. It's between me and Allah. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Allah also records in the Quran the dua of Ibrahim, where he says, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء He begins the dua asking for himself. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ Oh Allah, let me be consistent in salah. Let's pause here for a second. Who's asking Allah help so that he can pray? Prophet who? Ibrahim! What luck is Yahya going to have in the world, man? If Prophet Ibrahim is saying, Ya Allah, help me, I need to pray. Ya Allah, help me to make my salah. If Prophet Ibrahim needs Allah's divine intervention in his life to keep him on the straight path of prayer, most of the imams, when they analyze this ayah of As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, the first thing that they say is, As-Salah, it's prayer. That's the straight path. Because إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْعَمَلُ كُلُّ Everything is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. You must ask Allah to help you with salah. And therefore, at the moment you end, assalamu alaykum, the first thing that you say is, astaghfirullah al-azim. Oh Allah, forgive me. Why? Because I could have prayed better. There were moments where I thought of my wife, of my work, of my children, of my school, of my this, of my that, of my homework, of my cooking. Rabbi ighfirli, astaghfirullah. And then you say, Allahumma, my Lord, A'inni, help me. Help me. To do what? Remember you. Ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husn iba. To pray better. Ya Allah, I did dhuhr. It was okay. Ya Allah, give me a better asr. Ya Allah, help me today. I did my 5. Ya Allah, let me do it tomorrow better. Rabbi ij'alni muqima as-salah. Notice how he puts it upon Allah to assist him. He says, Ij'alni, you make me. It's like, it's almost as if you're saying, Ya Allah, wake me up for Fajr. Like, have a bird fly through the window or something, you know. Let some driver skid and I wake up, oh, okay, it's Fajr time. Right? Do something, Ya Allah, to help me. He's pleading. Ij'alni, make me from them. Use whatever tools for me, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help me arrive at my salah. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي Notice every dua of the prophets is never just for themselves. Never do you find a righteous person that they are greedy in dua just between them and Allah. They always include others. And the first of those who they include is their own children, their own responsibility. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي And from my children, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. You know, there are people who lived in this land hundreds of years ago who were Muslim. There were families who came from Afghanistan and other places who were Muslim. When you go to that Perth mosque and you look at that tile, and it's been more than 100 years that Muslims have prostrated to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. You have this amana. ذُرِّيَّة, ذَرْ, it means seed. Your children are a seed. You're planting them in this environment. Oh Allah, irrigate them with salah. Nurture them with iman. Give them the guidance, that straight path that I ask for myself, that I ask you to put me upon. And don't let them go to waste. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. Here's the fourth lesson. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. Oh Allah, answer and accept my dua. You need to make dua for your dua. You can't just say, I asked. You asked, and then what? Well, I asked, khalas, Allah, yani, where is it? I've had literally people, you know, they would say, Brother Yahya, I wanted to get married, you know, and I made istikhara, and I prayed yesterday and nothing. Say, akhi, it's been what? 13 hours. He goes, yes. Nah, dua. يُسْتَجَبْ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. You're answered as long as you're not earnest, worried that it won't be answered. Allah says beautifully in the Qur'an, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who else but Allah will answer the one who invokes him in dire need except Allah? Meaning even an unbeliever. And Allah uses this in the Qur'an. He says that there are people in the ship and they say, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا. They say, my Lord, if you save us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We will be from the best and the most sincere in worship to you, O Allah. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. But when they're saved to the shore, they forgot. They do their own thing again. And therefore, the one who answers the muttar, Allah, why does he answer him in the dire need? It is only one reason. Because when you are in dire need, you are in sincerity. You know when you make dua as if you're in a drowning ship, you know how sincere that dua is? That's when Allah answers you. Who else is going to answer? It's Allah. So when you make dua and it's just like you know how some people after salah, they do this little thing, they go like this. رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا. And they just, you know, just khalas. I've done the formality. If I didn't do it, people say, why didn't you do it? When we know the essence of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ after the prayer is not like that. His dua was tasbih. Right? It wasn't just a formality. Say a few rabbanas and let's move along. Right? No. Need. I need you, O Allah. Whether you are ar-Rahman because I'm pushed to my knees, or you are Allah who I've not recognized your might in my life. Third ayah. رَبِّ ادْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَاجْعَلْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, and this was the dua that was made by the Prophet ﷺ as he was entering Mecca. You know, he's entering into Mecca now. After 10 years, they had banned him from it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few years earlier in the Hudaybiyah, they made him return back, couldn't even make Umrah. And after the peace treaty, they broke it with violence, and the Prophet returns with strength. And he says, رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ. My Lord, enter me into good. And allow me an exit to be good. This is a central dua that the believers make. And many of the imams, they say that this type of dua, and this particular dua, is to be said at times of confrontation and struggle and difficulty in your life. You're going into a job interview. You're going in to write a test. Right? You're going in to fulfill an act that you feel apprehension about. And the Prophet ﷺ says, oh Allah, allow me to enter into that which will be good. Because there are many things that we think will be good for us, when we find inside they are hollow and not full of good. And then we try to get out, but it's difficult. So it's not just I want to enter into good, but I also want to have an exit into good and prosperity. And give me from you, O Allah, an authority that will help me along. Sultan al-Nasira. The Imams of Tafsir, they say, an angel who will guard me all throughout this process. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. O Allah, leave me not single, childless, though you are the best of inheritors. This dua is a dua that shows the anguish of someone who needs something from Allah and none can provide it but He. But it shows the faith that balances their request from Allah with knowledge that it is Allah who can take back anything. See, sometimes people think, I'm going to ask Allah, oh Allah, give me, and then you receive. And it becomes one of the greatest tests in your life that you were given something you wanted so much that Allah then recalls it from you and takes it back from you. As one of the greatest tests you have in life. And therefore this dua is, oh Allah, what you will give me is going to be from you. And if you take it back from me, oh Allah, you are the best who will return and take things away, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to spend a little bit of time with the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Anyone know something special about these two verses? From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Okay, first, they are a treasure from the treasures of the arsh, of the mighty arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Utitu min kinz al arsh." I was given a treasure from Allah. And these two verses were it. Second, when the Prophet ﷺ ascended to heaven in al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, these last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is the last of them, were communicated by Allah directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they're the only place in the Quran where Allah spoke the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is in the hadith of al-Imam al-Nasa'i. Third, that these two verses are the protection of all protection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who recites the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Hufiz, is protected, guarded, at night until they wake, and in the morning until they lay to rest. Listen to the eloquence that Allah seeks of us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our Lord, don't blame us for the things that we have forgotten or fallen into error in. What's the difference between خَطِيئَة and إِثْم? Ithm, both words are translated in English as sin. Ithm is sin and khati'ah is sin. But khati'ah is a mistake. I didn't mean it. And in many aspects of our life, there are things that we do wrong unintentionally. And therefore the first level of seeking forgiveness from Allah is from the things that we assume He will forgive us anyway for. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا. Oh Allah, don't blame us for it. إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Forgetting is a natural process of all human beings. As is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, one day the Prophet ﷺ was praying. And he prayed Salatul Asr 5 rak'ah. Instead of 4, 5. And the Sahaba praying behind him, just quiet. And after the Salah, one of them says, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, has our prayer changed? Because when the Prophet does something, it's the way it should be. The Prophet said, no. They said, because you added a fifth rak'ah, should we do this tomorrow? And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا أَخْبَرْتُونِي فَإِنِّي بَشَرٌ فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ أَخْطَأُ أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ. I am only a human being. I forget the way you forget, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In that is a sense of humility of this noble, privileged messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. That he accepts this humanity that as Muslims we never elevate him past his status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a human being. I forget the way you forget. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Second, ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. Our Lord, do not put a burden on us like the burden that you put on the people who came before us. There are those who came before us, nations that came before us, who were given blessings by Allah, but it was a burden upon them because they were not able to sustain it. And therefore, in our ibadah, our worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, we never go to extremes. And you see that the habit of the Prophet ﷺ was always one of moderation and consistency and continuation of small steps that lead to ever bigger, nearer challenges that one faces in building their iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. And part of your dua is not to be burdened with something that you will not be able to sustain and withstand. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Our Lord, do not place upon us a burden greater than we can carry. Every one of us is burdened. Wallahi, if you and I, we would be honest with each other. And if it was just to be a day of free talk, where you could just tell everyone the things that burden you in life, all of us would sit and burden each other with burdens. You'd sit and you say, oh, you know, you see me, I'm happy. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm actually not. Burden. Difficulty. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put more than I can withstand. Not that we can withstand. Is a plea and a cry that we have between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where you are asking for a divine intervention. In the things that trouble you in life. And sometimes we look at other people and we don't see what their burdens are and we think that they are far better off than us when the opposite is actually the reality. And Allah tells us in the Quran that there are some people, تَحْسَبُهُمْ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنِ التَّعَفُّفِ. Some people, they don't ask anyone for anything. You think that they're wealthy because they make this facade in front of you that they don't need anything from anyone. Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima, they would give sadaqah and charity that the person who they gave, when they looked at them, they thought, you know, subhanallah, I think this man needs it more than me, but he's giving me more than he has for himself because of their reliance on Allah. And releasing your burden and asking Allah to lift off our shoulders what we cannot withstand is an essential dua. وَعَفُ عَنَّا. عَفُ is pardon. It means, oh Allah, don't just forgive me, make it like it never happened. The ulama tell us that you might harm someone. You know, I might take something from my dear brother, Yunus, may Allah give him strength. And I might take something without right. And before Allah, I have a right that is to be repaid to him. And maybe I lose contact and I feel regret in my heart. I wish I could do something. And I turn to Allah in sincere repentance. Ya Allah, forgive me. And the amount that I had misappropriated from him, I put it in charity in his name. And when I go to Umrah, I ask Allah for forgiveness. And I do all the things that I can to absolve myself. And he and I never meet in the dunya again. Our scholars tell us that even though Yunus, may Allah protect him, might have hated me in the dunya, when he comes out of his grave because of my devotion to Allah, he will be made to forget it by Allah giving him good that expiates my sin because I was sincere to Allah. See, sometimes we've harmed someone and we think, oh, people get over it. No. You will stand before Allah and be held accountable. And if you don't free yourself in the dunya, you will be accountable in the akhirah. And the only way to ensure your protection is to increase your good deeds that will make Allah counter my sinful deeds and erase His haqq upon me. Absolve me from it. وَعْفُ عَنَّا. Make it like it never happened. عَفُو is not just rahmah and forgiveness, it's as if it never happened. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And also forgive us, O Allah. وَرْحَمْنَا. And show us your mercy. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. For you are our master. You are our protector. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Grant us victory over the disbelieving people. That last part of the ayah, many people misunderstand it. Victory over the disbelieving people means that the one who has taken my right, that you will give it back to me, O Allah. And the one who did not understand the truth and held it against me, you will give it back to me, O Allah. And the one that I had a claim over, you will give me victory over it, O Allah. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيِّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. This is the dua of Nuh. A similar dua was made by our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Tafaddal Sheikh Burhan, please come to the front inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair, please. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house. Jazakallah khair. Tafaddal ya Sheikh. Notice this dua of Nuh. It includes even us. Like Nuh doesn't leave anyone out. He says, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive my parents. Oh Allah, forgive any believer who walked in my home. Okay, even if they didn't come in my home, anyone who believes. Whether man or woman. Oh Allah, forgive them all. Right? This is the dua of Nuh alayhi salam. And it shows us as a principle that we include others in our dua, hoping that Allah will accept it and increase it. Dua number in Surah Al-Baqarah, one of the final du'as we study today. It is the most made du'a of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in auspicious occasions like tawaf. When you make tawaf, this is really all you need. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. By the way, this is something funny I just read. I was reading the tafsir of this ayah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited this ayah and he said to some of the tabi'een, do you know what the hasana that you ask for in the dunya is? What is the good thing you ask for in the dunya? Who knows what is the hasana? What are you asking? The good? A good wife, subhanallah. Did you hear that, brothers? You're making tawaf, you're asking dua, ya Allah, make my wife a good person. If I don't have a wife, make sure she's a really good person. So I don't have anything to work with. Right? She's just good on her own, mashallah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. And good in the akhirah. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And protect us from the fire. There are three important benefits in this dua. First benefit is don't ever forget your share in the dunya. Don't ever just think, oh, akhirah, akhirah, akhirah. No, you can be rich. You can be rich. Be rich, you can make money. If you can fill this whole room with halal money, where you're going to earn it from halal and spend it halal, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. Give us, ya Allah, good in this life. Some of the Sahaba were the wealthiest of the wealthiest. Dressed in the finest clothing, enjoyed the best of things. And when it was time for them to share with others, they were there to give. And they were there to stand by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The likes of Uthman ibn Affan and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. The best of the best. Second benefit we take from this, we ask for good in the dunya one time. But we ask for good in the akhirah double. فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا and قِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, which is a benefit for us in the akhirah. So as much as you seek from Allah in this life, as rich as you want to be, as healthy as you want to be, as content as you want to be, make sure double of your energy is put towards that akhirah, towards that way where you will save yourself in the akhirah between you and Allah. And third and finally, that we take as a benefit from this wonderful ayah, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us simplicity in dua. And a Bedouin man came, and he was listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. You know, they're talking, and they're using these big words in dua. And the Bedouin says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا أفقه دندنتك ولا دندنت أبا بكر. I don't understand the big words that you and Abu Bakr use. You know how some Muslims, they seem so pious and like, wow, look at these guys, like muftis and maulanas, and so you're like intimidated. And this man, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know how to say what you say. I'm a humble person. So the Prophet said, what do you ask for? He said, I say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Oh Allah, give me Jannah. Oh Allah, keep me out of Jahannam. Prophet smiled and said to him, Hawlaha tunudandin. All of our big words are circling around the one word you just said. Everything we're saying, we're trying to say what you just said. Right? What we said is what you're trying to say. So let me summarize my discussion with you, inshallah, with these five essentials in dua. Five essential points. First, ask Allah for good in the dunya, but do so conservatively. Ask Allah for the akhirah extravagantly. Double what you ask for the... Don't just say Jannah, say I want Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Oh Allah, I want to be next to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now your deeds are never going to be equal to that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not going to expect to rise to that level, but you make that dua hoping that your love will put you near him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-mar'u ma'a man yuhib. You will be with the one you love the most on that day of judgment. Second, when you make dua to Allah, begin with praise. Words like, Rabbana, my Lord, you're mine, it's personal. You belong to me, only me, hear me, answer me, seek me. I want from you, I covet from you. And the Prophet ﷺ would be very strict with the Sahaba. He would say, don't say when you make dua, inshaAllah. You know, some people they say, may Allah give you Jannah, inshaAllah. Don't say inshaAllah, man. Say, may Allah give you Jannah, khalas. Allah will answer you. Don't be unequivocal. You must be decisive. Ya Allah, it's like you're drowning in the sea. Save me. Third, Allah is near all of us. And He is near to the one who has purity of heart more than the one who has lots of actions without purity of heart. It's that little humble word that you say between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fills your world with rahmah and barakah. That little thing is just in your heart between you and Allah. You might be a person who outwardly other people look down on. Look, missing a part of hijab. Oh, this one, I haven't seen him in the jama'ah. Now, I'm not saying those are things you discount, but they are not things that you discount that keep you away from Allah. You have no one but Allah to ask. Don't ever feel too sinful to ask Him, Azza wa Jal. He hears you. And therefore He says that the one who turns to Him in repentance is one who initially has belief. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. It is the believer who asks Allah for forgiveness. It is the believer who says, I forgot. It is the believer who says, I made a mistake. It is the believer who is burdened with sin. It is the believer who has walked far away from Allah, but recognizes, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where am I going? It's only back to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a sign of faith that you return to Him. Number four, your dua is answered based on what qualifies its answer. And the hadith in Sahih Muslim is a warning to you and I that a man is lost in the desert. His camel has run away with all of his supplies. He's sitting there with nothing. Ash'a, khalas. He's covered in dirt. The sun is rising upon him. He will not live another day in that desert. And he puts his hands up finally to Allah. And that's the meaning of the hadith. He didn't ask Allah initially. Finally he remembers. Okay, I might as well now, I might as well just try my luck. So he puts his hands up and he says, Ya Rabb, my Lord, answer me. And then the Prophet pauses and says, but that man, his clothing is from haram, procured from haram. His food is from haram. Wudhiya bil haram. His whole system of life was based on that which was sinful. Anna yustajab lah. How does he conceive that Allah will hear and answer him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can one in good conscience know that they have left Allah and feel that they can ask of Allah the things that are extra to what they need in the luxuries of their life? Be conscious of your place with Allah Azza wa Jal. Seek Him. But know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us in terms of our deeds and our conduct and the sincerity in our heart. Fifth and finally, no dua is complete without the blessed salah upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing raises you in standard and in place between you and Allah greater than you honoring Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You remembering him often is dua. And one of the Sahaba, and the hadith is authentic, عند أبي داود, he said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, عندي حاجة, I have a need. Should I ask Allah or should I say my prayers for you? The Prophet ﷺ said, some of this and some of this. He said, how much should I say in salah upon you, O Messenger of Allah? How many salawat should I say? Should I do a third of my dua instead of making in every three dua, one salah for you and two dua? And the Prophet said, you can or more. He said, half, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, you can or more. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will make all of my dua. I'm not going to ask Allah for anything. But Allah knows what's in my heart. I'm going to make my dua, my salah and salam upon you, all of it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet smiled and said, then you will be given what you wanted and more. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.